Welcome to Spoiler in Time, the full experience where we watch the first, the ultimate, the lowest rated, and the last episode of a series to get the full experience of what that series was about. We are midway through The $6 Million Man. I'm Tom Merritt, and he is The $6 Million Man, Brian Brushwood.
No, not anymore. I spent all my money getting ready for this Founders Day.
Yeah, property values in Austin are not up there anymore either. So, yeah, I guess.
This is always the episode that I'm nervous to watch is the lowest rated episode.
That's what we're doing this week. Yes, the lowest rated, according to IMDb, is Outrage in Ballandary. Season 2, episode 21, although if you look for it, it is going to be listed as season 3, episode 21, because a lot of places count the made-for-TV movies as season 1. So it's depending on what listing you're looking at, either season 2 or season 3, episode 21.
This has been a weird full experience because, it was hard for us to figure out what the first one was, how to count the first.
Right, because of all the movies, right?
And The Ultimate was part of a three-part series over multiple different series.
Yeah, Bionic Woman also, and $6 Million Man.
Now we have the lowest rated one, which I can't tell, Tom, if is it lowest rated because it's universally thought of as not very good, or lowest rated because it happens to cover, a conflict that was so intense that, like Gamergate, you can't even say what it's about without affecting how people feel about it.
I don't know, because I don't know how many of these IMDb ratings, and that's how we determine the lowest. It's the lowest ranked on IMDb. I don't know how many of these are affected by the troubles in Ireland. I mean, IMDb was started in the mid-90s before peace, I guess, technically. But for 99% of its life, things have been okay in Ireland. And as time goes by, you know, those things become more part of history. I doubt, and I could be very wrong, but I doubt that sensitivity around the Irish Republican Army is what made this so low rated. It's got a 6.0 rating, which is below The Wolf Boy at 6.3. Run, Steve, Run, where they build a team of robots to rob Fort Knox at 6.3. Lost Love, where Steve runs into an old flame again, 6.3, and Double Trouble, where X-rays reveal an implant in a comedian's head that can control his actions.
Tom, there are certain moments in my life that I want to just pause and smile and note the fact that we have the kind of jobs where you can say the kind of sentences you just said. And that's part of our job.
So, yes, that is definitely worth taking a moment to appreciate. You're 100% right. I read all those out, not just to show off that that's part of my job, but also to point out that there's something fun about each of these others. Like, they may have been a bad episode, but they've got Wolf Boy and robots trying to steal things from Fort Knox and a comedian with something implanted in his head. Outrage in Ballandary is just a thinly veiled historical illusion. And
Paulez in the chat is bringing up a very interesting theory. My theory is, they say that it came right at the episodes where Jamie Summers dies and suddenly Steve has a new girlfriend.
Yes, because Outrage in Ballandary was produced before they shot the Bionic Woman episodes. And If that gets confusing, Jamie Summers was Steve's fiance that they introduced immediately upon meeting her. And then she, dies.
Immediately he's on Grindr.
Yeah. He's on Bionic Grinder.
Bionic Grinder. My Bionder.
I'm into bionic legs. So in broadcast order, you see him grieve for his fiance, who he doesn't know is still alive as the Bionic Woman. And then the next episode, yeah, he's hitting on the former Bond girl, who, twist, is the head of the Irish. Nope, sorry. Independent Ballandary Army. The IBA. I kept hearing IPA. I don't know if you heard that too, but I was like, Indian Pale Ale.
I was holding an IPA while
you were, yeah,
about the IBA, and thought it's not the IRA.
Yeah. So I, again, how much does that really affect the IMDb rating? Like, I just don't know.
Well, we could start with that part, and I don't mind if half of the full experience is us dissecting. What are you up to, IMDb? Like that, that alone is an interesting story. Also along the way, it's like, what are you up to, show we're watching? You know, and in this case, I don't know if it was low rated because it was about a very news topic-y thing at the time or what, but 2/3 of this show I thought was quite good.
Really? I thought it was pretty boring. Like,
really?
From the beginning? My theory of why this is the lowest rated is it is the least interesting. Like, it is on rails. It's like very thinly veiled. Okay, this is the Irish Republican Army, and Ballandary is Northern Ireland. Okay. The most exciting thing was me noticing that there was a new continent on the NATO map that they were showing in Brussels.
Are we going to do this? Okay, send me that image and I'll show it.
I did. I sent it to you on text. So
I email it. Okay.
I will.
But for me, on the flip side, like, I am 100% ignorant of everything about the Troubles. As best I know, and you can correct me, Tom, because you've been partly Irish longer than I have.
Okay. That's an interesting way of phrasing that. But yes.
I only found out a few years.
It implies that I wasn't always partly Irish, but I've been partly Irish longer than you have.
It longer than I have, right? but basically being part of the UK was did not go well.
I reject the premise, though. Like, I don't think knowing something about history makes this episode better or worse. It's just slow and dull. Like, what are you trying to say, that you thought it was more interesting because you didn't know about the backstory, and so it made you think about the backstory more?
It made me try to read. For me, it was like, oh my God, am I about to get a history lesson by way of the $6 million man?
And the answer was no. You absolutely are not.
The answer was no.
Yeah.
However, I did run across the roommate of Stephen Toast, which I've seen multiple pictures of, and I am certain I am right.
I'm afraid it's not right. I looked up the man who plays the roommate of Stephen Toast. His first IMDb role was in 1982. This episode was 1975.
First credited role.
Yeah, that's a big gap. They don't
credit anybody with one line in the background.
They credit David Frankham as playing Captain Abbott in IMDb.
How many lines did he have?
I don't know. He had like 3.
Okay. Well, this guy has one line, and I'm pretty sure
IMDb is crediting that guy as being David Frankham, is what I'm saying. That's Captain Abbott, the guy you're talking about.
Okay. All right. Hey, welcome to the very first beef in the history of this show. Like,
I don't want to take this from you. I'm so sorry.
What is it? David Batham?
David Frankham is who IMDb is crediting with playing the role you're talking about.
In Toast of London.
No, in $6 Million Man.
No.
Why are you starting to sound like Stephen Toast? That's not necessarily going to help your argument. No.
What's funny is I want to start using C words. No.
Robert Bathurst is the person who plays Toast's roommate. And he was born in 1957. So in 1975, he would have been 18 years old.
Unfortunately, you're right. He does. The person I'm confusing him for does look like an old man. Never mind. I guess I'll withdraw. You win, barrister.
I didn't want to win. I didn't. I really wanted it to be true. And I was sad when I looked it up and I was like, oh, I don't think it can be him.
Both of us. Long story short, both of us wasted an hour today.
Yeah, exactly. I also looked up Martine Beswick, who plays Julia Flood, also the leader of Unit 10. What was the leader of Unit 10's name? I didn't note that down.
She was Ms. Flood.
Commander 10. How could I forget?
Right. I was about to say. She was apparently a Bond girl as well.
Yeah, she was multiple Bond girls. She was in Thunderball, From Russia with Love, and later The Happy Hooker Goes Hollywood. She had a long and storied career.
Okay, so real quick, talking about her specifically, and maybe this is part of what got me thinking in looking through the lens of Toast of London. She reminds me an awful lot of the hoarder girl in Toast of London, where she's like, oh yes, I'm into sexy time. like very, very similar, but
yeah,
whatever.
And back to G. James B's theory, Paulus' theory, definitely weird to see these in order where, you know, Steve's like, you must come with me tonight. She's like, I've heard them all. And he's like, no. I mean, for real, you need to come and help me save this man's wife. But also, I'm not opposed to what you thought in the first place.
And then they leave the episode open-ended that maybe she'll show up and be a love interest.
But also, she's Commander 10 of, yes, of the independent Balandary Army. You know, this, they went to great lengths. They went to great lengths to not make this Ireland, and in fact, adding continents to the map to be like, this isn't even our Earth. And they still banned this in the United Kingdom at the time. They were like, no, we're not showing this. We're not going to do it.
Did you email me?
I did. Yeah.
Okay, great. Here, I'm going to. So Tom, you could tell the story to set this up.
Yeah, because I know a lot of you all are just listening on audio, so I don't even think there's a good image of this. Maybe we can add it to our blog post so people can see it, but there's not a good image of this out on the internet anywhere. They're standing in Brussels. So yes, Balandary is definitely not Ireland, because this is a world with a country called Balandary, but it also has a world, also has Brussels, and it also has NATO, and they're standing in a NATO meeting, and Steve Austin is attending a briefing by the man whose wife has been kidnapped by the IBA, and behind him is a map of NATO nations of Europe. I'm pretty certain that the United Kingdom is missing on that map. I think.
Oh, no. But there's a whole other continent. And by the way, I don't think you hit the right email address. And I think it's worth it to show this.
Yeah, maybe I sent it to somebody else. And they're going to be like, why did you send this to me?
So.
I was getting there, Brian. You stole my thunder.
Sorry.
I don't know if the United Kingdom and Ireland are even on the map, but there definitely is a whole other continent above Russia. And there's a big piece of North America attached to Canada that's a bunch of islands in reality. So maybe they just like colored in all the islands. I don't know. But I sent this to Brian because I was like, what's up with that map? And you gave me a very rational explanation of like, well, I think it's trying to be what NATO was at the time or something. And I was like, no, the imaginary continents.
The fact that because there were like lights around a certain area and the plot point was, hey, I get it. If they don't lock in this other element to, I don't know, fake NATO or whatever, then that'll be politically difficult. But in that moment, the Tom is like, no, did you not notice the map? And here we go. I'll show it.
Yeah. So you see the X's and O's. Is the United Kingdom there somewhere? Like, I don't think it's there. Like, I see Scandinavia.
Okay.
I see Iceland. I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it is there under there. But what is that? What is that up there?
We have this area that is the area of interest, which is what they're all talking about, why they need lots of bases here in order to stop the Russian threat, I assume. Then we have an expanded Great Lakes. The Great Lakes have
they're even greater. Yeah.
An awful lot of North America. We have Greenland is just greedy as heck. Also looking vaguely like Richard Nixon.
I had noticed that before. You're absolutely right.
And then we have a brand new continent of not Antarctica, but Arctica.
As you rightly named it. Yeah. So proof that this is in Ireland, because it's an entirely different planet. I don't know, man. Like, there was also Steve Austin saying, well, I won't be acting on behalf of the United States, as he's standing in full dress military uniform. Like, I'm not sure you can get away with that, Steve.
This is early, season two, back when like they're really trying to spell out the fact that he has a strong arm. Is it clear whether or not both of his arms are awesome or just one of them?
I think just one of them. Yeah.
Both of his. Okay. Because I've been keeping track and I don't think they were very consistent.
These different ones. Maybe they both were then. I don't know for sure.
I know both of his legs were awesome.
Yeah.
But also he's scared of bullets.
I'm trying to, well, you know, he's not bulletproof.
Yeah, no, I know. I don't look, I'm with you.
Yeah. I also love the double switch of like, we've got Slayton, who has betrayed the IBA to an even more radical version of the IBA. And you have Danny Boy, who clearly slipped him the note on the plane and then shows up and leads him into the warehouse. And Steve recognizes him like, ah, you were that one guy on the plane. Which, by the way, the Ballandari Airlines apparently have a Concorde. I don't know if you noticed that.
Apparently a two-story Concorde?
Yeah, because the Concorde always had the stairs, yeah.
No. Concorde never had the two stairs. It was too fast for that. Yeah, you're thinking of the Boeing 787. Maybe.
But that's not what they showed when they showed the exterior. What they showed
was a miniature, Tom.
It was a Concorde. Model. It was a model of a Concorde, wasn't it?
It looked vaguely like a Concorde. And because you and I are old people who are trying to figure out, what are you doing there? We both thought it was a Concorde. And then I saw the stairs. And then I was like, you don't do that outside of like a Boeing. Yeah.
Ballandari Airlines has either of those. It doesn't really matter whether it's a Concorde or a 787. Like, it's, yeah, I'm surprised that Ballandari Airlines. Anyway,
I do believe for a fact that there was never ever a Concorde that had stairs.
Yes, I will concede that. I will believe you on that for sure. That makes sense. But back to the double switch. So we have Dan lead him into the warehouse, and Dan is like, he's like, well, where's Commander 10? And Dan says, I'm Commander 10. I fooled you this whole time. And then he's, you know, realize they find out that Slayton was the betrayer because he talks to the flower lady, which was telegraphed from the beginning. Then we go to the jail. We find Slayton is going to turn him in. He's going to turn Dan in. He's like, I'm going to tell you who Commander 10 is. It's not Dan after all. It's Julia Flood. And she doesn't even bother to try to deny it. She's just like, yeah, I could try to deny it, but, you know, I guess I didn't quite understand why she couldn't deny it. Like, I would deny it all day long because she's got the perfect cover story. Like, I'm a lady in a sexist time. I work as a stewardess. How could I possibly be Commander 10?
Two syllables, TV. Like,
oh, yeah. No. That's the real reason for sure.
Rules are different on TV. Speaking of which, when you are working in TV land, you get to do things like, oh, I don't know, have it be noon and half of the scenes are shot at night.
Yes.
And the other half are shot during the day.
It's called shooting day for night.
Clearly in Southern California, some are shot clearly in a dam. Some are shot clearly overseas.
Was it at all significant to you that the position of the not British army, the Dominion army,
so careful. And Tom, I genuinely, I don't know anything about any of this. So if you want to educate me.
Oh, it doesn't matter. That's my point is you don't need to know anything about it. It won't either add or subtract from your appreciation of this episode. But I thought it was interesting that it was the Dominion Army who said, we don't make deals with terrorists, Mr. Austin. And Steve Austin is the one pushing the like, but then innocent people will get hurt. Maybe sometimes you do need to make deals with terrorists.
Yes, that does run contrary.
I mean, you do this episode in 1986, and that is not how that gets played out.
Agreed. So if we were going to evaluate why this is so poorly rated, yes, it does be bad. Yeah,
but it's not. I will say it's not particularly worse in any of these ways than the other episodes we've watched so far, which one of which was the highest rated.
Right. How much of it is political? How much of it is just bad?
I think none of it's political, honestly. Like, people are not rating it, you know, in 1975. They're ranking it now, or at least in the past 10, 15 years. So I think it's just because it's boring and silly. And everyone's like, yeah, we know it's Ireland. And, you know, but it's not a very compelling plot. And the switch is so easy. It's so like, I'm Commander 10. Oh, okay. Well, I guess you're Commander 10. I'll team up with you. Like, it just, there's no tension in any of it.
Can I confess something silly? Steve Austin looks awesome the entire episode. His fashion, like, I know it's of a different time.
Yeah, but
it's like
in context. Yeah,
I would have cringed in 1991 watching this. Like, oh my god, look at the way he's dressed. But now in 2024, I'm like, oh my god, I was dressed. I just want to. I want to be that fit and awesome and have that sweet tailored suit the way he does.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. I think this may be one of his better dressed episodes.
It is kind of funny to watch the show and be reminded, like, over the top, like, hey, don't forget he's got a eye. Don't forget
he's got a I kept waiting for her to freak out over his bionic strength, and she was just sort of mildly impressed. Like, you're pretty strong.
Like, goodness.
Oh, well, maybe I should go to America with you.
Ever since the continent of Arctica showed up, I've been...
Have you ever been to America? No, only Arctica.
I mean, look, it's a whole continent.
Yeah, Tom. It's just up there above Russia. Is it communist? It's not protected by NATO.
Africa is smaller than his shoulder.
Yeah.
Arctica is bigger than his body.
This is the extra Mercator projection. I don't know. My theory is that this is the lowest rated because it's not worse than other episodes of $6 Million Man, but it doesn't have anything special. It doesn't have fembots. It doesn't have Wolf Boy. It doesn't have Bigfoot. Like, there's just nothing fun about it.
Within the lore, it's very forgettable. And then on top of that, it's laborious in terms of trying to chime in on a current events thing.
Yeah, he and his bionic use actually is pretty slim.
Yeah, no, he jumps up onto a thing, he bends a bar with the thing, he uses his eye for a thing. I'm sorry, Tom, is there anything else that he does?
Not that I remember.
Any episode ever?
He bends things, he jumps things. Yeah, that's a good point. I can't think of much that, you know, he has done. He can't hear things. That's the bionic woman. She can hear.
Yeah. He definitely wears an ascot in this episode.
Oh, I love that he decides to go undercover by putting on a newsboy cap. Yeah.
An ascot. Wearing a Fred from a Scooby-Doo costume.
Yeah. I'm Ballandarian now. Interesting how the Ballandarians all have Irish accents.
All right.
That is all we have for outrage in Ballandary, which I think it was overpromising to say there was outrage.
I mean, yeah, no, I agree. It seemed like mild discontent.
Yes, yes. even a shred of hope in Ballandary. That is our lowest ranked episode of $6 Million Man. And so we will finish up the full experience next time with The Moving Mountain, the final season 5 and or 6, depending on how you count, episode 21. And then we'll be looking for a new one. We'll be talking about that in After Talk. So hang with us. But for next full experience, episode 21 of the final season, The Moving Mountain. That does it for Spoiler in Time. If you are a patron, of course, you get this episode even earlier than everybody else. If you're not, you get them on Wednesdays. Thanks for joining us. Support us at patreon.com/cordkillers, and we'll give you the full experience again next time.
Also, it's called The Full Experience.